Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is 7:45, time for our Sunday chat with Tom Ackerman, sports director of KMOX, who's been in Jupiter, Florida for quite a while. But, Tom, I'm guessing you're ready to come home.
Yeah, it's time to come home. It's time to get this baseball season started. You can only play so many exhibition games, and the Cardinals actually have three more. So they're going to play one here today. They have two in Arizona starting tomorrow. They'll play the Cubs tomorrow and Tuesday. Take the day and Wednesday in Los Angeles to work out, and then it's opening day against the Dodgers on Thursday.
So lots of moves yesterday, Victor Scott among them. Tell us what happened yesterday.
Yeah, Victor goes to the minor league camp. Not a huge surprise. Dylan Carlson had a great spring, and Victor is considered to be an elite center fielder when it comes to defense. He had a gold glove already won in the minor leagues, and they only give those out to one per position for the entire minor league system. So that happened, and he also had 94 stolen bases. So it's undeniable his ability on the base paths and in the field. The question would be, can he hit major league pitching? And they have decided that the best course of action for him is to get at bats at AAA and then come up when it's time. And I think when he comes up, he will stay up because he is going to play every day. They do not want him coming off the bench. So that's the decision made there, is that if he's not going to be the starting center fielder, then let's let him play in AAA and then bring him up. He needs to get as many at-bats as possible. So I understand that thinking, as much as selfishly I'd love to see an explosive talent like that playing for the Cardinals. Probably the course of action of taking Dylan Carlson, putting him in center field, having Michael Ciani for the time being be your defensive fourth outfielder, it makes sense. Brendan Donovan can play in the outfield as well. Walker is already your right fielder. Alec Burleson can play in left. And then the other thing is, you're going to get Lars Nootbaar back pretty soon. Nootbaar is already taking swings, coming back from his rib cage injury, and eventually you're going to get Tommy Edmonds. So you'll have a crowded outfield at some point. But, man, Victor Scott is special, no doubt. And then also announced yesterday was the starting rotation for the start of the season. So it'll be Miles Michaelis, who pitched really well yesterday, starting on Thursday against the Dodgers. He'll be followed by Zach Thompson, who earned a spot, with Sonny Gray missing some time here for the time being with his hamstring strain. He is now pitching again. He threw three innings yesterday. Thompson's looked good. He takes a spot in the rotation. They go righty-lefty. Then they'll follow it with righty and Lance Lynn, lefty and Steven Matz in game four against the Dodgers. Kyle Gibson will start the first game against the Padres, followed by Michaelis and Thompson. That sets up Lance Lynn to start the home opener on April 4th against the Marlins at Busch Stadium. Lynn's excited about that. It's his first home opener. He has not done that as a Cardinal in his long career. He was a world champion in 2011. He started as actually the ace of this staff for a little while, but Chris Carpenter and Adam Wainwright got those assignments more often than not, and that denied Lynn an opportunity. So he gets that. So that's really the breakdown here. There's a lot going on for sure.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals will play an early game today, Scott, at 11:05 against the Astros down in West Palm Beach.
Yeah, since they're playing the Dodgers in the opener, I got to ask about this Shohei Ohtani story, because there's a lot of sketchy details around this, sports betting, and he's the golden boy of baseball around the world now, and I'm just wondering where this might go.
Well, I don't know what he's done, you know, so it's still very unknown. I mean, I think right now MLB has launched an investigation, so that's where it's going now. And once they formally launch an investigation, you know that they're taking it seriously. Now, you don't want a black eye on baseball. I think from a Cardinals standpoint, wouldn't mind a little distraction for four games so you can get a couple of W's and get out of there. But you don't want this on baseball. I mean, the worst thing that could happen is a Pete Rose situation. I think the question is, where did this $4.5 million go to, and why was it moved? You know, his interpreter, who he saw in the dugout talking to, hours later, he's fired. And the story changes from, He was helping out his friend pay off a debt to a massive theft.
Mm-hmm.
And why was the interpreter, how did he have the ability to wire money to a gambling operation that turns out to be illegal and the feds are investigating it? There's just a lot going on there. So I think, you know, MLB is like, okay, let's pump the brakes here. We need to do an investigation. There's already a major law firm involved in this, several of them actually. So everybody's lawyering up. Otani's not talking to the media. Otani was blocked by PR from talking to the media after the loss to the Padres on Wednesday. And the reporters were like, well, can we ask him if he can talk to us? And then he ended up telling them in Japanese, have a good night, walked out. So nothing happened there. So, you know, it's a story that is taking a few early winding turns and a lot of unanswered questions.
Right. So in the first round of the NCAA tournament, there were quite a few upsets. Yesterday, as we start the second round, the lower seeds, except for Kansas, all won. So Arizona, Iowa State, Tennessee, Creighton, Illinois, UNC, et cetera. So I guess you would say it's the taking form in that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, the cream rises to the top here. I think typically that does happen. Occasionally you'll get a St. Peter's. You know, last year, Florida Atlantic, I think, was a lot better of a team than people realized. And by the way, their coach, Dusty May, took the Michigan job yesterday. You know, you're going to see some of these teams. Oakland is a really good team. They just ran out of magic yesterday against a team that actually is magical, too. I mean, NC State won 5 games in 5 days, as you know, in the ACC tournament, and now they've won a couple of games and they're in the Sweet 16. Now they can rest their legs a little bit and see who they end up playing. NC State, you know, they're going to go on to play Marquette and Colorado, so get ready. You know, those two teams like to run, especially Colorado. That'll be interesting. I think James Madison, it's possible they could beat Duke today. And
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
That could be one of those darlings. I guess there's a chance that Grand Canyon could end up beating Alabama. I could see that happening. But, you know, Michigan State, beaten by your Tar Heels yesterday, not a surprise at all that they won their first game. In fact, when they took the early lead, I thought, well, here goes Tom Izzo again. I mean, how many times have we seen him go into the tournament and get to the Sweet 16? He knows how to do it. But most of the time, I think, you know, you get mostly the teams, like, I think a good example is Illinois-Duquesne. I mean, I like Duquesne a lot, but Illinois is just a freight train right now, and you better play a perfect basketball game to beat a team that knows how to score at a fast pace like they do. And they also played great defense. They just have a lot of length, and they're tough to deal with. I guess the one that surprised me, Scott, the most was Gonzaga destroying Kansas. I mean, Kansas got away with one against Samford. They should have lost that game. There was a bad call at the end. And Gonzaga's a really good team, but they weren't the Gonzaga of past years. And for Kansas just to completely fall apart, I mean, it was just very unlike Bill Self and that program to get destroyed in front of everybody. But it's a good tournament, no doubt about it. I think there's some great games today. And I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm just curious about this Illinois team. How good is this team? Of course, they would have to run into the buzzsaw of Connecticut at some point, but it seems like they're a real contender.
They're the real deal. I mean, I think Illinois is a Final Four caliber team. But the thing is, you know, like you said, they still would have to get by UConn. And by the way, UConn has no picnic tonight. I mean, Northwestern is battle tested too. I mean, they've beaten Purdue. They are a really good team with a very, very good scorer in Boo Booey. I think that's the thing also about the tournament, is that if you have a guy who can light up for 25, and is just a scorer and hard to keep track of, you could try to shut that player down, but it opens up opportunities for others. Usually if you have a player that can light it up, you've got a chance. And Illinois has one of those, and Terrence Shannon Jr. There are not many players in the country like him. So, you know, I think they're very capable of doing it, but they will have a really tough matchup against Iowa State. Iowa State is no joke. So that East, actually, I predicted would be the toughest region. And then the team that I thought was actually the hottest going in Auburn, gets beaten by Yale.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a crazy tournament right now. I love this tournament. Even when my teams are out, I didn't even fill out a bracket this year. I'm just sort of like kicking back and popping open a beer and just enjoying these games. I've really, really enjoyed these basketball games, and we're going to get a whole bunch today.
Speaking of enjoying games, man, it's fun to watch City SC play right now. They don't have the wins stacked up like they did last year, but they don't have any losses either. I enjoyed your conversation with Bradley Carnell this week. He's just so smart, and he gets it, and he understands what the mission is here. So it's been an impressive start.
They're very impressive. They just play their style, and they figure out a way to get you. And you know, I call them the comeback kids. I mean, they've now had how many? Five games where four of their five matches, they've earned a point from a losing position. The Real Salt Lake game, then Austin, LA Galaxy back-to-back, and now DC United, where they were down, came back, and got a point. And they just find a way to do it, and that's because they have an identity. They play on their front foot. They play aggressively the entire game. Didn't have possession a whole lot last night against DC United, but you know, that was a slugfest against a team that is a lot like them, very much a transitional game, and they found a way to earn a point. Now, they're also in a six-way tie for third place in the Western Conference with 7 points. Eventually, you're going to have to get some of those three-pointers, and they've let one or two slip away. To get yourself back in the standings, you got to get some wins. You can't have draws the entire time, but they don't have losses. And, you know, so they believe in themselves, and I think it's a really good team. And to your point, even if you're not a soccer fan, those games are fun. Yeah. I mean it's fun to get points.
Yeah. So you have a short version of sports on a Sunday morning today because of the Cards game.
I do, and I should also mention, you know, the Blues with that 5-4 overtime win. They just keep hanging around too. They had it down to 2 points, but it's a 4-point deficit now for a playoff spot. So we'll touch on them, college basketball, soccer, and but it'll be very baseball heavy today on Sports on a Sunday Morning. And like you said, it's a very short show, and we have to get out of there at 10:50 to get to the 10:55 pregame, 11:05 first pitch. So we'll hear from Ollie Marmol, and he'll explain all of the roster moves. We'll hear from Lance Lynn, who's excited to pitch the home opener. We'll hear from Sonny Gray and from Chip Carey, who I had a chance to sit down with as he gets started for year number two calling games on Bally.
All right, Tom Ackerman, safe travels back to St. Louis. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate
it. All right, take care. Total Information, AM Sunday.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.